I know you stopped taking pictures, but I know you started playing the organ. It's pretty good. Amen. There's a lot of things in the world, in this life, that we just don't know which way to turn. Only way I know where to turn to God in prayer.
Amen.
And ask God to take care of some situations. We have a few people in our church having some health issues. And my heart really really want to see God do some great work, prove himself. Sometimes we go, a sermon I preached Sunday night, I was very, very not sure I should have preached it, but I had people come up and say, "Preacher, that's exactly what I needed." I didn't realize that. So it's always nice to do what the Holy Spirit says. But sometimes things go on that we just don't know. Somebody said life is 10% circumstances and the rest of things fall in place and we don't understand them. Talked to somebody a while back and they said this is about 3 years. That's when after the great catastrophe comes and about 3 years and you find out that you'll keep on going and you'll keep smiling and you got to keep going. Martha, listen. Listen. Okay. So I hope tonight that you really practice your praying. That you really remember some families in our church. I'm not gonna say anything about it. But I'll tell you, we've got some families in our church that really they're in some trouble right now, and they're going to go through some trouble physically. Okay, thank you. So I'm gonna ask a few of you folks if you just lead in prayer. Do you know that God does not need to know their name? God knows what's going on. And I just thought maybe if you're physically able to just kind of spin around in that chair and get on your knees and humble yourself before God. And I just, if somebody want to come up the altar, you do that. We're going to spend a few minutes doing this. And I think it'll speak to our hearts. Let's go to prayer. 11. Psalm 111. Let's stand and read God's word tonight, please. Psalm 111, 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. And all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commended his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. May God have the blessing of the word of God as you may be seated. Holy Spirit of God, I pray tonight as we look into the word of God that it would be what we need tonight. Lord, bless our church. Help us, Lord Jesus, be a church that loves you and loves people. Lord, is concerned for each member of this church and for people that are not members of this church. Dear God, that we would be a church that people said one thing about that church, they really care. God, I pray you'd help us tonight to study the scriptures, to know more about you. And the more we know about you, the more we want to live like you, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were titled this, it would be The Lord's Works. He talks about his worship. He talks about his wonder. And he talks about his wisdom. This psalm is what they call a twin. We have no idea who parented them, but they are standing shoulder to shoulder like two peas in a pod. It is generally thought that it was written after the Babylonian captivity, probably early in the post-exile period. Both psalms are complete, are caustics. Both contain 10 verses in our translation, and both are made up of 8 couplets, verses 1 through 8. And 2 triplet verses, verse 9 through 10. And the couplet, they're tripled, total 22 verses. And line after line begins with a different Hebrew alphabet, and thus making a complete alphabet. One psalm celebrates the person of the Lord, and the other one celebrates the people of the Lord. And the psalm we're studying today has 3 major themes. First of all, worship, 1 through 3. The psalm begins with the word hallelujah. That is a well-known word. Any place you go in the world, any language, hallelujah means hallelujah. It's praise you, Lord. That's all it means. I mean, hey, you want to speak Russian? Say hallelujah. That means praise you, the Lord. You want to speak Spanish? Hallelujah. In Portuguese, there you go. I can understand Portuguese, so can you. Now we're bilingual, amen. It's really what we call a liturgical call, or stand outside of overall alphabetic structure of the psalm. And the worship is the ascription of worship to God, and is praising God for the glory of his person and work. You know, I don't get tired of praising the Lord. And neither should you. We should always have that on our lips, to praise the Lord. I heard of one fellow, he was hammering and busted his big thumb nail, the hammer, and he said, "Praise the Lord!" And a guy next to him looked at him and says, "Are you crazy? Why don't you cuss and swear?" He said, "No, praise the Lord, I didn't cut it off." You know, we ought to be praising the Lord. Every step that we take, every place that we go, we ought to be praising the Lord. What is God using me today? Praise the Lord. Lord, you're letting me go through this. Praise the Lord. You're allowing me to see your hand in certain things. If you didn't have troubles, you didn't have heartache, you wouldn't have nothing to praise the Lord for. If it wasn't cold in this auditorium, you wouldn't praise the Lord because it got warm. Sherry. And if Mrs. Connors were here tonight, I'd say if it wasn't hot in here, you wouldn't praise the Lord when it gets cool. First of all, there is a resolve to worship. Every person that has named the name of Jesus Christ for their salvation should resolve to worship the Lord God. I am going to worship Him. The psalmist had made up his mind that he's going to worship the Lord. It's kind of rational, a sensible response of the creature to the Creator, of the Redeemer and the Redeemer and the Redeemed. It is the chief end of man. We should be tuning up our souls now for the endless anthem, the thunderous praise, that one of these days, when the courts of heaven open and we're there, we're going to be shouting glory, hallelujah, amen. There's just so much people that are just whine and complain and gripe. Things are going to happen, okay? There are things that are going to happen in your life. Have you figured that out yet? There's going to be problems that happen in your life. There's going to be things that just literally torment you. But not all the time. Not all the time. It just seems like Satan gets this little seed of worry or complaint in us, and it just really ruins our whole attitude for the whole day. Just something. Somebody says something. I was out to eat yesterday with a gentleman, and we got in this place, and the waitress says, "Now, I know you're sitting here, but this table's gonna, and just get up and take that table when that family gets out of there." So we sat there, and all of a sudden, the family left, and we got up there and went and sat down. And we were sitting for a couple minutes and had everything set, and man, it's, you know, I don't like to sit at a table that's about this big around, you know. And, because I'm not built for that. And, so, all of a sudden, I mean, things are good. I mean, we're laughing, having a good time, and talking about things, and all of a sudden this guy comes up and he says, "Hey." Looks up, and another guy says, "Yeah." And he says, "We got up so this World War II veteran could come and have a seat." I don't know, World War II veteran going to need a seat? And I says, and the guy with me says, "Hey, no problem. We'll get up." So we're getting up, and this guy just kept at it. I mean, it shamed us right there. You know, like, "Hey, okay," you know. And we got in the car, we were headed back, and the guy said, "That was kind of uncomfortable." We got up, moved over and sat at that table. They got all the silver, all the water and everything, you know. And we're sitting there, and we're having a conversation. This dude comes up and says, "Hey, you know why we left that table?" And I should have said, "No, I don't know why you left that table, because I do not read minds." And if I knew there was a World War veteran coming in here, I would certainly give him my seat. In fact, I'd give him the wife's seat more than I'd give it his seat, because the wife's the elderly lady. But this guy just kept it up. I mean, you know, okay. And finally, the other guy says, "All right, we got you. We're leaving." And the waitress, she just died. She just red-faced. "I'm so sorry." No. I said, "Hey, no problem." So we went and sat at the little table again. Did it hurt us? Yeah. Yeah, it made it really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. You ever had that feeling? That uncomfortable feeling? Somebody comes up and I want to say, "You're not my daddy." It's kind of like that thing on Facebook where there's a cat on the table and a mother says, "Get off that table," says, "You aren't my mom." The cat's saying it back to the lady. But anyway, I thought it was good. Things happen in our life that make us very uncomfortable. Okay. And people can make you very uncomfortable. I want to tell you, things are really, it was a great day. Sun's coming out. Things are melting. Hey, we're sitting there. I'm talking about his family was having some difficulties and trying to, you know, help him out, counsel him. This guy comes in. We get off the car and say, Well, that was uncomfortable. I said, yeah. I said, well, that ruined your day. He said, yeah, that's what I thought. But anyway, by the way, set y'all straight. I bought the World War II vet and his wife their dinner that day also. So I'm not a bad dude because I was sitting at a table. The waitress told me to go sit. But you wouldn't know that. And there's a lot of things that happen in your life that people never know. They think that you know all that they know, and you don't. So the psalmist says, I have decided, no matter what, that I am going to praise the Lord. No matter all the exterior junk that happens around me, I'm still going to praise the Lord. I think that's a pretty good piece of advice, amen? The psalmist resolves to worship God personally. I will praise the Lord with my, what does it say? Whole heart. Have you ever met half-hearted people? Y'all come back here! You ever heard anybody tell you that? And you know it. They don't want you there. It's not wholehearted. Do you like that? Oh, yeah, I guess it's okay. Well, man, I want you to jump up and down, do a double back flip and yee-haw and sist bam boom and all that other stuff when I give you something, amen. Don't we all? Come on now. My grandson's birthday is today, and happy birthday, Blake. And my grandson's birthday today, and I got him something. And I can't wait for him to see it. My granddaughter had a birthday on the 24th. And someone bought me a Barbie doll pink convertible for her. I'm going to be the number one papa of the year on that one, man. Because Sarah just took her down to Toys R Us. And she says, what do you think of that? It was one of these little cars you get in, battery drive it. And my family found this car that was their, what do you call it? Reduced price and everything. And I'm telling you what, she's gonna get crazy. I think I need to get an airplane ticket and go down and see her get it, amen. FaceTime is okay, but I like face to face, amen. Well, he resolved personally, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, he said, I have resolved to put all he had into it. To summon all the resource of his intellect, engage in the passion of his heart, to enlist in the dynamics of his will, the harness every ounce of strength, pull them all together and pull out the stops, so to speak. And I think that we have lost this in our lackadaisical attitude about of our church and our serving God and our time that we worship the Lord God. You come before his presence with thanksgiving. See, you just can't wait to get up in the morning to listen to the scriptures and to pray them. That's exactly the psalmist wrote. He said, I want you to know, I can't wait. Now, how many of you have ever went on a vacation? How many of you know that you can't sleep the night before? And you're so excited. Woohoo! Man, I can't wait to go. Man, you got everything packed. Martha, you know you didn't do that. You packed the night before, you drove me crazy. Isn't that right? Because you were making sure all your shield stuff was done before you could go, right? Yeah. But there's anticipation. Anticipation. I anticipate Easter. I can't wait. I can't wait to start preaching on the Lord Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and his resurrection. I'm pumped up by it. We as Christians, I think we've failed. Listen to me now. I'm talking about y'all and myself. I think we've failed to understand what it truly is to praise the Lord. I'm not talking about some junk. I'm not talking about rolling around on the ground and showing yourself off. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really in the spirit to the fact that I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, Dad, do you remember when you come home and your little girl or your little son sees you and they just go hog wild to get to you? Mama has been doing everything she can all day, or some of you for 3 or 4 days, and you've been doing this and that, and all of a sudden, old Dad comes home. Your kids don't get excited about you. They get excited about Dad. They climb all over him and slobber all over him, and they just can't get enough of him. When they see him, they're so excited about that. Because why? They love their daddy. I wonder how many of us love our Heavenly Father like that. I mean, just love Him. Most people, first thing they do, you get up and you run to the coffee maker and turn it on, and you run and you wash your face and wash your hands or take a shower. You know, and shave all that stuff off your face and comb your hair and get your shirt on and everything. And all of a sudden, you look at your clock and say, man, I should have got up 20 minutes early so I could have some time reading my Bible. What if you knew the Lord was coming to your house tomorrow morning? What time would you be up? Would you have time with Him? Most people sit there, you know, I never hit my snooze button because I did that a few times and know that it ain't good. You know, and then I start snoozing over what time I should have been choosing. Amen. Meeting up, get to that Bible. Most people, first thing you do, they open the door and look for their newspaper. Make sure they go through the obituary and make sure that they didn't die that day. See if anything happened. See if the Putin, whatever his name is, Pukin, did anything bad. You know, hoping the Ukraine is still on the map. Looking what Syria's done. Look where what's going on in Iraq, Iran. Wonder what the world's going on in this world. See what the world our president has done or hasn't done, and on and on. And I didn't mean that to be anything, but I just, you know, sometimes we've just forgot that our time with the Lord should be early in the morning. Evening and morning at noon, will I cry, will I pray. David said, 7 times a day do I pray. I praise the Lord. 7 times a day do I praise the Lord. Hey, I got you an idea how you do it. Breakfast. Lunch. Dinner. Lunch, supper, before you go to bed, and then in bed, praise the Lord. First thing I do in the morning, I praise the Lord. I try, I really do. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord I'm still able to get out of my bed. Because I know some people can. I know some people cannot get out of bed. I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I get to get up. Praise the Lord, I can still see. Praise the Lord, I still hurt. Because if I know I'm hurting, I know I'm still living. Amen. Because heaven, we don't have no hurts. Amen. Yep, I'm hurt. I'm living today. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Surely we bring a similar commitment to our work. Then having disciplined ourselves to work with our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, we should worship with the same earnest zeal. That is what the psalmist resolved. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Secondly, he resolves, moreover, to worship the God publicly. Look at it. He said, I will praise the Lord in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. He said, I want you to know, I'm not going to praise the Lord at home. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord in front of everybody. You sure are having a good time up front here, girl. And to assembly upright in the congregation to sit sleepily through a sermon with thoughts wandering far off from the intent of the staying that every rag or tattered of idea thought and not to worship. Well, I tell you what, when I go to hear a preacher preach, I got my pen in hand. I found out something. I doodle once in a while. I found out they're better listeners than people that don't doodle. Did you know that? Boy, I'm just smart. I'm a doodler, amen. It means that the loins of your mind are girded up with every thought brought into captivity to Christ. I am thinking of Jesus Christ. I'm thinking that how can I deliver this message that the preacher is preaching, deliver to my soul and also to other people around me. Hymns are sung that exalt the person, the passion, the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I just want you to know, you people that sing in our church, Sunday, Easter Sunday night, we're going to have a sing time. We're going to get you people to singing. We're going to wear out our musicians, amen. We're going to, maybe 20 people going to sing or 20 different things. It's going to be a fantastic thing. I want to praise the Lord. I think we missed praising the Lord. I bet some of these churches that are they've went off kind of haywire, I think they got the right idea, but they're going at it the wrong way. But we need to praise the Lord. I'm going to have my deacons come and get you, girl. Amen. Hymns are sung that exalt the person of Jesus Christ. Private worship lift up public worship into new heights. And a public worship, by the way, if you worship God in private, you will worship God in public. One of the greatest prayer warriors I ever heard is a guy named Jake Spears. Jake Spears was the CIA. Though things aren't going so good right now with the CIA, but he says the CIA still is. He's in Bangkok. You never heard a man pray like Jake Spears. Never heard a guy pray like Jake Spears. And he was real. And he was the guy that'd be out in the service. He'd shout amen, hallelujah. He meant what he was saying, amen. Private worship lifts the public worship to new heights. The reason for worship? God's might displayed. Verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of them that have pleasure therein. There it is. God's might as displayed of His work, the creator of this universe. Everywhere we see the footprints of the omniscient and omnipotent creator, we explore the mysteries of the atom, we reach out to the stellar empires and see the evidence of the incredible might of this orbit of galaxy that we're in, and explore the stars that are locked up within atoms. And even today that you go in on your internet and look on the this telescope, the Hubble telescope, there's things that human eye had never seen before. And they're most magnificent pictures you cannot believe. There is, too, God's might displayed as a controller of the universe. Thank God it still holds together. Our hearts and it. But thank God it still hangs together. Amen. The Jewish repatriate from Babylon could not but help but be awed in the sense how that God had controlled the king of Persia to let him go back. That's unheard of. And give him money and give him men and people to help them go back. You know, when a country comes in and conquers you, they don't turn it loose. They use it for their good. He turned it loose and said, hey, go back, build your city, build your walls. Build your temple. The mighty Persian Empire Cyrus had the world at his feet. His empire stretched from the gates of Greece to waters of India. Yet God had worked in his heart. I'm going to stop there. Father in heaven, I pray you just help us tonight. Help us to glorify your holy name. You are a wonderful God. And we are amazed at all the things that we get to do. Lord, forgive us of our puny, meaningless worship. Oh God, may we come before you and say, you are a great and awesome God. You're a magnificent God. You're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. You're omniscient. You know everything about everything. And you spoke and this whole magnificent world came into existence. And not only that, you keep it going. Lord, bless this time. Lord, may we leave this place with praise on our lips and a shout on our voice and a heart full of reverence before you. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight not sure they're saved, I pray tonight would be that night that they would call out and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Now, Lord, bless this time. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. And, Lord God, please keep us safe. And, Lord, may we praise your glorify and glorify your name for every place we go. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.